with everyone.
Let's get dangerous.
This is all good.
I know.
It feels so right.
With KCE.
He's opening our minds to new ideas. Kill him!
Who is that guy?
Your mama.
You just made the list!
Oh, wait, you're serious? Let me laugh even harder.
It's all in football.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No. Burn.
What is up, you ducks? It is All in Football, the last show with Chris Meany for a little while. We have scheduling changes next week because this time, actually going to be the same time, Wednesday, 10 a.m., we're doing some pre-draft coverage with Thor Nystrom, and then the week after that is Rich Rebar, but he's on a Tuesday, which is good for everybody because we're going to be moving to Tuesdays, but the week after the draft is going to be a Monday because we want to get right into it, and maybe I'll give you like a nice little flow chart of where the schedule is going, but next week is 10 a.m. live on Wednesday, and we are talking pre-draft rookie coverage a lot, but today is top 10 quarterbacks because we have some fun discussions because 5 minutes after we ended the last week's show, Stephon Diggs gets traded. That, yes, we have not talked Stephon Diggs on All in Football because immediately after the show, that's what happened. So I'm expecting immediately after this show, something else is going to happen. I don't know. Maybe somebody else in baseball blows out their arm and has to have UCL Tommy John surgery like everybody. Like, can we just go to robot pitchers? Like, forget robot umps. Can we just make the leap right to robot pitchers, Meany, like at this point?
Unfortunately, you're probably right about that take about an arm blowing up.
Every day.
Rough go. It's a conversation for another day. I know a lot of people don't like Justin Verlander, but I really enjoyed his comments. There was like a deep dive into his reasoning behind it, what has changed since his time in baseball, and how maybe baseball needs to kind of go back to some older things. I don't know, like the pitch clock or something. It's tough, man. But yeah, we're not here to talk.
I don't even think it's the pitch clock. I tell you what it is. You know what it is? This is why football is better. It's because your arm is supposed to do this,
right?
Throwing for everybody that's watching. Like, this is how your arm is supposed to throw. This is a very unnatural emotion for your arm, which is why this gets blown out all the time, which is what Verlander was talking about, is when you're throwing it harder and more spin and faster, and you're putting all that pressure on your arm. That's why. Now, everybody just start throwing knuckleballs. There you go. Just knuckleball and just easy, soft
Wakefield
tosses.
Was able to hang around in the bigs for years. Yeah, I mean, like, Nolan Ryan was an outlier. But, yeah, all these kids are told to throw hard as they can and to get to a certain spin.
My nephew's 14. Should we just have him have Tommy John right now? Like, just get it out of the way?
Sure, but, I mean, at the same time, like, he's probably going to need a second or third one. I mean, Shohei Ohtani has had two already.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, Strider's headed for a second. Anyway, that's not what we were talking about. Josh Allen got a new contract today, but not that Josh Allen.
There we go.
The Josh Allen defender for the Jaguars, not the Josh Allen, the quarterback. The Josh Allen, the quarterback, is standing around looking about what he has left in his wide receiver room. It's not as bad. I mean, they did sign Curtis Samuel, but it is Curtis Samuel. And people, you can have some hope for Shakir. And that's not what we're here to talk about because this is top 10 quarterbacks today. Let's start right there, Meany. Is Josh Allen still your number one quarterback for 2024? And I don't want to hear like, well, we assume they're going to draft. They're going to do something. They're going to do something. Yes, we know they're going to do something. But is what they're going to do be anything like Stephon Diggs? Whether or not Stephon Diggs had a down second half of the season, even in that down second half, Josh Allen was still QB4, QB6. I think he had one week outside the top 15 and everything else was six or better, or maybe a seven, but it was all in that range. He was QB1, even with Stephon Diggs playing like junk. So all that set up for you to say, is Josh Allen your number one? He was number one last year overall and in points per game.
Yeah, he's been number one for, I feel like, the past 3 years, one or two. He's not. He'd be two. He hasn't moved that much, but yeah, I mean, you are losing, 2,000 total yards roughly between Diggs and Gabe Davis. And yes, they will draft somebody, whether it's at pick 28.
Curtis Samuel. Dalton Kincaid, you're two.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for those guys, especially Dalton Kincaid.
Jokes aside, I'm going to have a lot of Curtis Samuel at this point because people have forgotten about the 2020 season with Brady back with the Panthers and how much Curtis Samuel. That was Curtis Samuel's best season.
At first I wondered if he would get overdrafted, but they're definitely going to draft a guy. They have to. They have to draft Josh Allen, a wide receiver. Whether you believe in Vegas odds or not, I think they're minus 400 to take a wide receiver at pick 28, whether they move up or not. This is a team that's going
one counter
to draft
take.
A wide receiver.
Real quick.
Yep.
If Aaron Rodgers ever watched this show, which he never will, I'm pretty sure he'd be sitting there like, oh, do they really? They have to? Do they have to? Do they? Do they have to? So I'm just saying, what happens if they pass on round one and then all of a sudden, you know, round two is still going to have a lot. For all intents and purposes, real quickly, my rookie breakdown is up at The Athletic already. Like I said, we're going to be talking about that. This isn't for this show. Top 80 pre-draft. I mentioned that tier two wide receivers would be tier one most years. Tier three would be tier two most years. The people in tier four, including like somebody like Johnny Wilson, which people in the comments are like, wow, you have him so low. Like, this is a year where everybody kind of got bumped down. Like, I don't want to do a tier zero, but like, you see what I'm saying? Right. So they could still draft somebody around two or three, but is it enough when I, again, I'm going to come back and push back and say this, Stephon Diggs was awful in the second half. We joked about it. We talked about it. Like, Stephon Diggs, we drafted this offseason, or drafted or ranked, however you want to put it. We didn't even have Stephon Diggs inside the top 25 with the Bills for going into next season. And yet, at that point, we were still drafting Josh Allen as QB1. So, who are you putting at QB1? Because I think there's still the argument that Josh Allen is QB1, no matter who it is. Even if they picked up, I don't know, Isaiah Hodgins off the Giants. Like, I'm just, it's Josh Allen. I don't think he needs Diggs.
I don't think he needs Diggs either, and he definitely doesn't need Gabe Davis. So, like, he's not changing from a tier standpoint, but it'd be enough for me to put Jalen Hurts. I mean, he's got two alpha wide receivers. He's got a good offensive line. He can run as well. You know, when you look at red zone rushing attempts inside the 10, it's like, he's number one. And then Gus Edwards is number two. Goal line work. Like, he's still going to get that type of work. So, yeah, I mean, I do believe that it's like 1B. Like, I don't think we need to overreact. And I thought you said it perfectly. It doesn't really matter who they bring in. But I think at the same time,
who do you have at one?
Jalen Hurts.
Okay.
Jalen Hurts there at one, just because of the two alpha wide receivers that he has, as I mentioned, and Dallas Goedert in the offensive line, and the rushing that he still brings to the table, like all those things. But Allen is still in that tier. And I would like to see them get an alpha. I don't know if they move up and get an Adunze. Like, a Robert Thomas would be great. Troy Franklin, I think, would be great. You mentioned Thomas so many times. Yeah, Brian Thomas, I think, would be fantastic. And I already saw, like, on social media, he's expecting to go there. And it's not that easy. Like, hey, you know, I'm going to roughly go around the end of the first. This team needs me. He had a really good combine. And, you know, he's I think he's a really good prospect. But I don't know if it's that cut and dry. It's like, oh, they'll get somebody in the third and it's going to be fantastic. But they, at the end of the day, this offense is going to be a little bit different, isn't though, Jake? Like, yes, Diggs wasn't as great. In the first nine games, he averaged 92 yards. In the last eight games, he averaged 43 yards. But he was still getting some volume, but he was slightly phased out of this offense. So I don't know if it's as easy as, hey, let's just insert a rookie here. Curtis Samuel is going to be fantastic. And second-year tight end Dalton Cade is going to be able to take that leap forward. But Allen's still got those legs, and he's still going to run for, 700 rushing yards, at least 600, and he's going to get 7-plus touchdowns, and that's good enough for a top-three quarterback. Like, I don't think people are overreacting a little bit on the fact that he was bad before Diggs. Like, he grew as a passer. Just Diggs going there didn't necessarily – it wasn't the only reason that he excelled at the quarterback position. You know what I mean? Like, people are just saying that, oh, well, Diggs gone. He was bad when before Diggs was there. It's not that cut and dry.
Well, I think Brian Thomas makes sense. And I think it also, you're going to see who they're drafting. You said they're moving away from, they obviously moved away from Diggs, but they also let Gabe Davis walk and then brought in Curtis Samuel, which I think you're getting back to what helped Josh Allen take that step in the NFL is people who can separate, people who fit his style. And Gabe Davis, never the best fit, in my opinion, which is why I don't think they necessarily go to somebody like Xavier Worthy if he's there, because now you're talking about like the Sean Jackson type. I think that Brian Thomas makes sense, but honestly, even if they went Mitchell, somebody you can separate like that, McConkey, separate, can get open like that. Like, I think those kind of receivers make more sense. Like, Troy Franklin and Keon Coleman, please don't do that. Like, and I don't think they will. And that's why I'm, and I bring that all back to say is I think they're shifting back to, you know what, things were a little inconsistent at times. Let's get back to what helped Josh Allen, what made Josh Allen great. And it's not all Josh Allen. It's not all the wide receivers. Funny enough, Stephon Diggs liked the post talking about how the Bills fans are secretly the worst fans in the NFL. So, I don't know, like, frustration, whatever it might be. So I'm not going to debate too much because I have Hurts at two. Like, I will go Allen Hurts. I still have Josh Allen number one. But I think the conversation comes in at number three, because number three, according to early ADP and early ranks, is Lamar Jackson. Last year, Lamar Jackson was not number three. He was in points per game. Dak Prescott played one more game. Dak Prescott is three. Dak Prescott in points per game is four. Lamar Jackson, we've seen, finished number one. Lamar Jackson and his rushing upside puts him in the conversation to be number one every single year. It's the touchdown difference between the rushing yards. Is there a conversation for Lamar Jackson to be in this top tier? So is it Allen, Hurts, Lamar? Because last year it was Allen, Hurts, Mahomes. Mahomes, for everybody out there, by the way, not only was he barely inside the top 10, actually, if you do it points per game, he was 13th. Technically 14th, if you want to include the amazing Carson Wentz in his one game. He gets bumped down a spot. But Mahomes was there last year, so I'm only kind of bringing that up to say, is there a hesitancy in here? Like, maybe tier one clearly is Allen Hurts, the end. And then it's another whole tier where it could be Lamar Jackson again, but he's more in that second tier than he is in that first one because of risk, because of the touchdowns and the rushing side aren't there, even though people like to think it is. It's not. It was five last year. Is he just tier two? And is that okay? Is he number three? Is he three and two? Did you get that?
Yeah, I got it. He's three for me. Okay. I don't think there's any question. He's three for me. He has officially leapfrogged Patrick Mahomes. He should be the third quarterback off the board. And I do believe he belongs in that tier because he's very similar to Jalen Hurts in terms of fantasy points per game. I mean, they're separated by 1 point, right? And I know Allen at 23 and Hurts at 21 and Jackson, they may say like, hey, Allen, this is what the argument you were making. Like, Allen is one. That's it. The knee digs. It's like a 2 point gap there. He's at least 1A. But I think that Lamar does deserve to be on this tier. You know, the leap forward for Zay Flowers, I think they definitely found something Isaiah Likely, where they got two really strong tight ends that they can throw the football to. I'm not sure who else is going to be able to step up inside this offense. You know, Odell Beckham Jr. is not going to be there. I believe he's still a free agent. There was really nobody else that really stepped up, I didn't think.
Flowers had flashes, and that's
outside of Flowers. At the wide receiver position, I like Flowers a lot, and getting Derrick Henry, I think that they're going to have more success running the football. But yeah, I'd say for me personally, he's definitely three, and I would put him on that first tier as well. And looking at red zone rushing attempts, I know we got into this when we talked about running backs, and I mentioned Gus Edwards, who had the most inside the 10. And looking at Lamar Jackson, you're right, he's not like Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen. He had five attempts inside the five, so near the goal line, five, and he only had one touchdown. That's not how they use him, and they will not use him inside the five when they have King Henry.
And you're not wrong about that. So Dak Prescott is year four. For underdog and early ADP and early rankings, he's actually eighth. Then again, Dak Prescott last year, 4,500 yards, 36 touchdowns. Back to running a little bit, 242 and 2. Remember, you just penciled him for three rushing touchdowns every single... And actually, back in the day, it was 306, like three straight years in a row. But 19.9 fantasy points per game. That's 0.7 behind Lamar. It's in front of Joe Flacco, by the way, at 0.1. And then it's over a point. It's 1.2 down to Kirk Cousins. Everybody forgets about Kirk Cousins. And points per game at 7. So is Dak Prescott here where his numbers suggest from last year they should be, and it's kind of how this team has been? Or you kind of, I even saw it in your face immediately. It's just kind of like
tough. Like,
yeah, like, yeah,
it's, I know. Like, it's just really tough to, I think for me to like spend a pick that early, but also at the same
time. No. Well, so hold on. I'm glad you said that. I want to pause real quick. And let's just say, like, for this show, this tier that we're about to enter, I think, let me kind of put words in your mouth here for a second. Can I put, so I'm going to say All right, you know what? No, it's my show. So I'm going to put words out there, and then you can tell me if you agree. Yeah, okay. I think there's a tier one. It's Allen and Hurts. Whichever way you want to go. Hurts, Allen, Allen, Hurts. It's that's the tier one. Tier, as you kind of said, 1.2, 5B, 1A to B, whatever it is. It's technically tier two, but it's just a guy. It's Lamar. He's out there by himself. He's just kind of sitting there like, hey, I'm here. I'm the one you get if you don't get the top two. If there's a nice value in round five, come take me. Please do. And then after that, there is a tier. And this tier is about 10 guys.
It's large. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge.
And to kick it off, you could argue Dak and the guy we're about to talk about next, Diggs' new teammate. But is that so? Let me throw that out. Let's just say this tier clearly for everybody watching, listening, they know this. If you're drafting in this tier, you're just going to wait. You're going to take whoever in this tier is the last one available because there's a very slim margin. You can go last year, bring up Patrick Mahomes. You can go from him all the way back up to Joe Flacco as just under 2 points per game difference. So we're going to wait on quarterbacks. That being said, now in a completely different conversation, Chris, I sound like I'm trying to like talk down to you, but a completely different conversation. Does Dak start this tier? Like if you had to just group this tier, we are making a list ranking this tier. Is Dak starting this tier or would somebody else start this tier for you?
I would put Dak there. I'm hesitant to put CJ there. Honestly, like he was already five for me before the trade. That's how high I had CJ Stroud at five with no rushing upside. And I don't think Dak really has a lot of rushing upside either. You mentioned, pencil him in for three or four rushing touchdowns every year, 242 rushing yards. But the fact that he led the NFL in passing touchdowns with 36, he was top three in passing yards. He excels when you compare him to Allen and Hurts and Lamar, like 36 passing touchdowns. None of those other guys even hit 30. 4,500 passing yards. Allen hit 43. And you got sub 4K for Hurts and Lamar, and I don't think that they're going to excel in that category. So Dak can give you this sort of ceiling as a passing quarterback. You can bake in the contract year, all that stuff, chip on his shoulder, all that nonsense. The truth is that the Cowboys still don't have a run game. They still have CeeDee Lamb, and they have a really good tight end in Jake Ferguson, who excelled last year. And then Brandon Cooks had a really good season. And this is the type of team that just probably will draft a running back and maybe a skilled wide receiver. Like they're
two or three, probably.
They're not hesitant. They haven't been hesitant to do this in the past. They've missed on some like Tolbert and others. But this offense is good. It's going to be good again. So, yeah, I'd say Dak does belong in that tier. To start it.
I was still started with Mahomes. I think we had the one down year, and of course we have to wait and find out what I mean.
I'm concerned.
Rashee Rice situation. Like we have to see how that clears up.
That's good. That's ugly. It's an ugly situation.
But I mean, we are talking about somebody that like they did add a weapon to his receiving core last year. Like this people just a month
in
ago.
Hollywood
was it a month ago or is it less than that? Has it even Marcus been a month? Around him. Yeah, no, I know. I'm saying like how long ago? About a month ago-ish. Yeah, like Marquise Brown. Yeah. So like they've actually added to it. I think Patrick Mahomes for one down year where he was hovering in that 20 to 24 range per points per game, I would still go Patrick Mahomes. But again, he would start this tier. He would start it. I would go Mahomes. I think the argument is there for Dak. And now let's come to it and talk about C.J. Stroud because we don't have to spend a lot of time with Mahomes. C.J. Stroud. So you brought it up. There is the immediate reaction when Stephon Diggs was traded again. We missed it because we ended the show 5 minutes before news broke. And it's just like, hey, we're back for five more minutes. Now we're just going to say we're talking about this week. So we sound like we're late to the party. But that's what happens with live shows. Stephon Diggs is now on the team. Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell. I mean, Dalton Schultz is back. Joe Mixon on the team now. Whether or not Tank Dell's 100% for week one, I think Stephon Diggs was part of that equation. I'm not saying they would have not got that value because they traded essentially nothing for Stephon Diggs. Very little. It was a pick that they didn't even have because they traded for it. Like so it's not their original pick. So that's why I say nothing tongue-in-cheek. But the value was there to get Diggs, whether or not Tank Dell's healthy. But now people immediately, oh my God, C.J. Stroud, tier one, C.J. Stroud. But you just brought it up. It's very difficult in fantasy for a quarterback to hit that level of Allen, of Hurts. If you go to Mahomes 1 year when he did it, 4,700 yards and 38 touchdowns, 5,000, almost 5,100 yards and 50 touchdowns. He also ran. We're talking about 300 yards there. And then you go to other years where you talk about people, Lamar Jackson, the 1 year he did it, ran for over 1,000 yards and all those touchdowns that he ran for, and then also had his best passing season. Dak Prescott, the one time he came close, 4,900 yards and 30 touchdowns. The problem with Stroud is unless you're having these astronomical 47, 48, 4,900 passing, 30-plus, maybe cleaning close to 40 if you're on the lower end of the passing yards, if you're not going to run for 300, 400 yards, 5, 6, 7, 8 rushing touchdowns, you're not going to hit that top tier. And I feel like, let's be honest with you, like I love Texans hat. I'm going to find a way to get a Diggs jersey. I have questions about the realism of a certain helmet I was bidding on. I'll tell you that about after the show. But anyway, I love my Texans, and I love CJ Stroud. The problem is in fantasy, let's make this clear, there is more, like if we said CJ Stroud, QB5, there is more likelihood he finishes worse than there is that he finishes better.
Yes.
Just the math. There's four in front of him and all those behind. I'm not even talking injuries. I'm just talking about because of this style, he's not going to run. We are talking fantasy. Just on a 17-game basis, he's more likely to finish. Actually, there's an argument that he finishes worse than last year and then improving it, which he will. But you get my point. Are you with me on this? And is the argument here meaning is that maybe CJ Stroud doesn't even deserve to be five? Maybe it's Mahomes, Dak, Burrow. We're going to talk about a second-year player. Like, should he be lower?
Well, he's going to get overdrafted, right? From all the things that, I mean,
that's the answer.
He's already going as a top five quarterback. I've seen that in best ball drafts, and I know best ball drafts are very different, but the fact that people were willing to reach on him and draft him as a top five quarterback without Stephon Diggs makes me think that there's the possibility of him going maybe fourth ahead of Dak and starting this tier. You bring up a lot of good points. I think, you know, again, I'll say to Dak, like he was able to finish as QB3, QB4, 20 fantasy points per game with just under 300 rushing yards. So it can be done. But you laid it out perfectly, I thought, with the numbers and the projections. Like in order for him to return value and finish as a top, let's just say, four quarterback, because I agree he's not going to get in that tier with those rushing quarterbacks, he needs to have at least 4,500 passing. He needs to have a season that Dak just had. Yeah. 4,600 passing yards, 35 passing touchdowns. Last year, he had 4,100 yards as a rookie. It's very impressive. 23 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Adding Stephon Diggs, does that give him another 10 to 12 touchdowns? I don't know. I don't think like that's a little bit of a stretch. I think he can get to 4,500 and 30 touchdowns, and that would put him in the range of what QB7 to QB9, which means he's not going to return value if you're taking him in the fourth round. I think the safer pick is with Dak and Mahomes, given that it's Patrick Mahomes. But I think he deserves to be ahead of these other guys that we're going to talk about.
Okay.
I have him at five. I probably won't have a lot of shares. You have to be aggressive, I think, Jake. Like, if you really want CJ Stroud, you have to be like, I really want Stroud. I am in on this campaign, and I'm going to take him and spend that capital.
The Texans bandwagon still isn't full. Come join it, and then just don't take CJ Stroud. Because here's the answer. I'm going to give you the answer. So you bring it up. CJ Stroud ranked 52. That's his ADP. 52nd. Like, forget the fact that he's fourth quarterback that's, now at this point. 52nd overall. You can wait. And then you can wait some more. And then you can keep waiting. Oh, by the way, you could just wait till 86 and take Kyler Murray, which, by the way, if healthy, probably actually finishes in front of him, assuming they draft somebody, which they will. But you know what? Let's keep waiting. You can keep waiting a little bit more. And keep waiting. Oh, by the way, pick 124, QB17, finished in front of him in fantasy points per game because he keeps finishing as a top 10 quarterback almost every single year as Kirk Cousins. Just wait and take Kirk Cousins. Like, they both have to do the same thing to finish top five, and Kirk Cousins just keep doing it anyway. Like, more points per game than him last year, and now he's going to the Falcons. So, I'm going to wait some more. In this argument, let's throw out the second-year player, Anthony Richardson. Do you take Anthony Richardson, QB 6-7, just on the fact of, similar to Kyler Murray, if he plays 17 games. Because Anthony Richardson last year played four. 17.2 points per game. Wasn't the best, wasn't the worst, but he did run for four touchdowns in four games. We saw the rushing upside. That's why I bring up Kyler Murray, because we know it's 800-900 rushing yards. Could be 10-plus touchdowns if he really wants to keep going for it. But the concern is the risk of the passing and the risk of the rushing and getting hurt. Although, again, FB injury doc has proven that running quarterbacks are not more likely to get hurt than stagnant quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins, an example, you can go both ways with it. The numbers bear it out for everybody that's listening, like, oh, no, you're stupid. No, the numbers, he did a study, and it was interesting to find out that there's not a big difference. But let's go back to it. It's upside. It's Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson or Joe Burrow, because let's put that out there, meaning what's the difference in the injury risk at this point? Burrow keeps getting hurt. Yeah. So wouldn't you rather go for the guy who runs a hell of a lot more?
Yeah, it's really where you have to separate real life from fantasy. This is it. Like, this is the conversation that you have to have with yourself, because there's no comparing the two quarterbacks. Like, Joe Burrow is so much better than Anthony Richardson at this point. We have a large sample size of him being a very good quarterback in this league, an accurate quarterback with two alpha wide receivers in Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. But you mentioned the rushing floor. I personally would rather have Joe Burrow. I am a little concerned. I know you just brought out, like, oh, injuries is not going to happen, but he really does need to change his style slightly. And these things happen with young quarterbacks. I remember when Josh Allen came into the league, like, slide, dude. Jalen Hurts, get down, slide. Don't be taking these unnecessary hits. And I saw a lot of that. Run out of bounds. There was he only played like four games, and he took a lot of shots. And he was not accurate. I think his quarterback, his completion percentage was what, like 59%.
You're talking about Allen?
No, Anthony Richardson. 59%, 84 attempts in the four games, but four rushing touchdowns. Like rushing touchdowns and over 130 rushing yards. So,
well, that's why I thought, if you could talk about the first 2 years of Josh Allen, 53% and 59%. Yeah. That's why I thought where you're headed with
that. And then
that,
he took that leap forward when they brought in the guys that we
year three,
about,
which like, they haven't done. I mean, Josh Downs, we had this conversation on the show last year. Why I like Josh Downs more than Alec Pierce is because of the fit and the style of how he fits who Anthony Richardson looks for. But it's still Pittman and Downs. It's still like, and maybe they add another, but
I think that they should like add a separator in the draft to help him out a bit. I don't know if like, I agree with you. I don't think Alec Pierce is it. But yeah, I think I'd rather have Joe Burrow, honestly, but he deserves to be in this tier. I mean, we're talking about seven or eight guys, and we haven't even got to like Jordan Love, who I think
is interesting because he's coming up next. Because I was going to say, I would kind of like backtrack on something I said and say that you would include Kyler Murray in this tier, correct?
I mean, yeah, I would. And I don't
although we're making an assumption again.
I don't think a lot of people are going to include Kyler Murray in this tier, and when they do, he's going to be at the end of the tier. You're right to bring him up earlier that he's going to be a terrific middle of the round, I don't know, quarterback 10 off the board. You can get him maybe in round 12.
If that. Like, what is he right now? He's Kyler. Actually, he is quarterback 10. And right in front of him was the next name I was going to bring up, who, by the way, from week 11 on, there was one quarterback better than him. One. Josh Allen. 25 points per game, which, by the way, again, think about that. 25 points per game, which includes Stephon Diggs not being good. Yeah. From week 11 on, 25 points per game. 3.8 ahead of this person at 21.2. Lamar Jackson technically was at 25 again because he had the one game off, but this is total points as well. But Jordan Love right behind him. Jordan Love in front of Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, and all the rest. I mean, Brock Purdy, Stafford, Goff, like, it's everybody. Points per game, Lamar was the only other one in front of him, so technically he was third. Jordan Love, which way do you swing on this? Do you say, Jordan Love, I believe that second half of the season and things are about to be great again. He is definitively a top 10 quarterback, and you could argue he deserves to be at the top end of this tier. Not necessarily first in this tier, but top end. Or are we pulling the DK Metcalf of quarterbacks and being, ooh, the second half of the season might not be what we get for the entire season, and this is just kind of a roller coaster type of situation?
I'm in.
Okay.
I think that I'm going to have a lot of shares of him, especially if what we're talking about here, where the uncertainty with Patrick Mahomes and the fact that CJ is going to be overdrafted a bit. I was very impressed, and I was extremely hard on him to start the season. I think we both were, you know, he wasn't super accurate, but he was running a bit, and he had some nice fantasy
games. The touchdown
rate
was off the chart.
Touchdown rate was. At first, I just didn't think it would be something that he can, you know, keep up. But the fact that he did this in his first full year as a starter, 4,100 yards and 32 touchdowns with 11 picks, it was the youngest wide receiver room in all of football. I mean, he had rookies or sophomores, including two rookie tight ends. And now you're adding a guy like Josh Jacobs who can do it all inside this offense. There were moments last year where Jordan Love didn't even have a capable running back to lean on. Aaron Jones hardly played last year. We only view him as like a guy that was great in real life NFL football, but he was on the sidelines for most of the year. And AJ Dillon looked like he was running through mud. So now you ask Josh Jacobs, I am completely in. I think that there's a lot of questions.
Would you take him over Richardson?
I would. Yeah.
Would you take him over
Burrow? There's a lot of questions. Yeah, I would. I would.
Oh. And would you take him over Stroud?
After Burrow is exciting too. No, I wouldn't take him over Stroud because I do believe that there's more. Obviously, there's more to see with CJ Stroud. The fact that he could do what he did in year one. But Jake, like, there's a lot of questions. Like, can Christian Watson finally stay healthy? What leap forward does Reed take it in year number two?
Basically, did it without Christian Watson.
Exactly. Right. And the highs and lows of Reed as a rookie, and Romeo Dubs was getting all those touchdowns on three catches, which is, I think, part of it, but definitely showed he's a red zone threat. Plus, like Luke Musgrave, like that guy's good.
Musgrave or Love?
Love, sorry, Musgrave. No, Musgrave. They're both good.
Musgrave.
But he's like a weapon inside the red zone that he was without for a little bit as well and excelled.
All right, so here's the problem.
Love and these Packers.
Here's the problem, Meany. We still haven't, we're going to get out of here on this.
I know.
We still haven't talked Caleb Williams, who, by the way, with the Bears. Oh, by the way, everybody's talking about drafting another wide receiver with their second pick. I'm like, why?
That's great, by the way.
Oh, that wasn't sound effects. That was the dog whining. That's what it was. That's Coda. That's how she plays. She whines. So Caleb Williams, already with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, I think you can make an argument that he can have a CJ Stroud-like rookie season and can be in the top 10 conversation. But here's the problem. I'm going to give you your opportunity to pick first. Here's the top 10 that we have so far. We have one spot left because we basically agree on the 9. And we still have quarterbacks we probably want to put in this tier. I told you there's like 10 deep, but it's Allen, Hurts, Lamar, Mahomes, Dak, Stroud, Love, Burrow, Anthony Richardson. That's 9. We have one spot left, unless you want to kick out Anthony Richardson and throw in 2. I'll give you that option. Who are you putting at 10, Meany, and are you kicking out Anthony Richardson?
I'm not going to kick out Anthony Richardson. It's really tough not to put Kirk Cousins there.
Murray, Purdy, Caleb, Herbert is done. We've already said that.
I'm not going to put Herbert. I'm not going to put I'm not going to put Herbert. I'm not going to put who's the other guy that you mentioned?
Purdy. Purdy was 6 last year.
I think
overall.
Purdy deserves to be there. Actually,
he's 8th in points per game.
Yeah, Purdy deserves to be there ahead of Kirk Cousins.
Really, Kirk Cousins had more points per game than he did.
Yeah, but it's you have to have a little bit of pause with Kirk, just a new surrounding. And I know there's going to be some elements of the same
major injury,
offensive coordinator coaching. It's the major injury at his age at 36. Who knows? We're all just saying that Kyle Pitts and Drake London are good. I just like playing devil's advocate. I do think that they're good and they're going to be great.
No Joe Flacco, Cousins, 5th in points per game.
No Joe Flacco. But listen, Brock Purdy, man, we talked about him last year as like a breakout candidate going as quarterback 22. He's just set up perfectly, man, in this offense. As long as Ayuk isn't traded, you still have Kittle, you still have CMC, you still have Debo, you still have Kyle Shanahan calling these shots. So Brock Purdy, man, this is exciting because there's a lot of different quarterbacks that you can make a case for. But I'm going to go Purdy over Caleb Williams, who I haven't seen yet in the NFL with the Bears. Like I'm going to put him in there. And I think I'd have him ahead of Anthony Richardson and put Richardson at 10.
Would you? Well, I was just about to make the point that I say, like, if he has a CJ Stroud season, that still only makes him QB10.
QB
that for Caleb.
For Caleb.
Which is one spot behind Brock Purdy, even in points per game, 18.5 to 18.2. And that's assuming he has a season as successful as CJ Stroud. Now, Caleb Williams will run a little bit more. might call his number at the goal line a little bit more. But point being, this is also in front of Patrick Mahomes and well ahead of Anthony Richardson. So before we get out of here, Meanie, I'm actually going to do it. I am kicking out Anthony Richardson. I am saying, see ya. I love the rushing upside. I would actually put Caleb at 10 and Purdy at 9. I would take Purdy. I think that Caleb has enough upside. Those weapons are, wow.
Yeah.
Of course, there's the risk of being a quarterback and a rookie, but I will take it. So I am going 9 Purdy, Caleb at 10, and then Anthony Richardson, and then Kirk Cousins to round out my 12. I would actually put Kirk right at 12.
Man, I think I'm going to live in that range. And we don't even have Kyler there. We don't have Kyler.
Oh, son of a bitch.
You know what I mean? Like, this is.
No, I lied.
You're going to put Richardson. Are you going to put. I think
Murray's 10. Murray's 10. Caleb 11. Purdy, Kyler, Caleb,
Richardson.
And then Kirk is all the way down. Sorry, Kirk Cousins, and you're down now at 13. And you're going to be a value like you are every damn year.
Every year.
Because what happens every damn year. We chase the upside, and then Kirk Cousins says, fine, I'll do it and finish QB 7 or 8 like I always do.
And this is why it's exciting and why we both believe in – it's nice to have an elite quarterback. Like, don't get me wrong. It's nice to have a Josh Allen and a Jalen Hurts and Lamar with that rushing floor. If those guys have dud games as a passer, you still – have something productive in your fantasy lineup, but you are missing out on some really, really great talent in the first couple of rounds, and you can get yourself a quarterback at the end of your draft, like you did last year with Anthony Richardson and got hurt, but you can get a quarterback near the end of your draft in the final couple rounds, maybe even last pick, that can finish as where we're grouping this tier as a top five quarterback, right? So waited out at the quarterback position. And I think, just to put a bow on Caleb Williams, I think the Bears may do something pretty special at 9 and draft a wide receiver. And I know they have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore.
So absurd.
But Keenan Allen is on the final year of his deal. That's it. He's not the future. He is a nice piece to bring in. Imagine if they got Odunze, or I don't think Neighbors will fall that far, but just imagine. And then outlook.
I think it was Bumgarner over at the Athletic just actually had them trading back up from 9 again to the 6th pick from the Giants or something like that. I forget what it was, but
man, just to go him? Back.
Yeah,
and to grab Neighbors one of the DJ top Moore in this offense moving forward in the future for Caleb Williams.
It's just stupid. It's not stupid.
Spectacular.
Follow Chris Meany at Chris Meany. Hockey playoffs are coming, and check him out on SiriusXM 2 to 3 p.m. They talk baseball with the remaining pitchers that might be left to play this year. And we'll be back next week, 10 a.m. Wednesday, with the great Thor Nystrom to talk rookies, and the week again after that with Rich Rebar to talk rookies. But that's on a Tuesday. And then after that, we'll continue to update you on the new schedule going forward. And yes, pork chop sandwiches. I love that. I love pork chop sandwiches too. G.I. Joe reference that people only know if you grew up with that and saw that about, what was that now, 20 years ago probably at this point? Yeah, but anyway,
at least, I think.
We'll be back next week. I got to go to an actor. Oh, I got to update people on the cereal too. That was terrible. I'm so disappointed. We'll be right back.